Hey, it's Sean.
Hey, it's Brie.
And this is I Can Explain,
the podcast where we answer the questions that you're too afraid to ask.
And this week's topic is biphobia.
Yeah.
I almost said kind of like Jean. Hey, it's Sean. Just adding a little Parisian like flair to this.
You're Quebecois all of a sudden?
Yeah.
Even the way I just said that, people are going to be horrified.
Quebecois.
Quebecois?
Oh, also, okay. Mm-hmm. I need to get this out of the way.
Okay.
Because I believe I am getting canceled currently. And if I had to pinpoint things that I was going to get canceled for, this is not the one I would go for. But okay. I have received, we received one or two DMs to the podcast, and I got one or two personally about me having no idea where New Zealand was.
Oh,
I will say
wow.
That was past tense. I do now know where it is.
Okay.
But
were people providing you like maps?
No maps, but two people were like, does Sean have any idea? Because I claimed that the climate was what confused me as well, because I saw that New Zealand was kind of rainforesty.
Okay.
Yeah. And these people were like, is Sean aware that Australia also has rainforests? And that the coast that like is pointing towards New Zealand has like this luscious rainforest. Mm-hmm. And
you just thought sand.
The answer is no. I thought just sand.
Yeah.
Sharks on the sand.
Yes. Sand sharks. What movie is that from?
I don't know. It seems like Sharknado or something.
No, I have like a weird childhood memory of that.
I think there is like a Sharknado spinoff where there are sand sharks as well.
Yeah.
I honestly pictured like a desert wasteland with spiders that are like 16 feet tall, kangaroos fighting, and koalas riding their back. Like, I know nothing about Australia.
Right.
So
I feel like that is like, to be fair, that's like, kangaroos are to Australia what like beavers are to Canada.
Yeah.
In the sense like when people come here, they're like, where are all the beavers? And I'm like, I literally have never seen a beaver in person in my life. Not once.
Yeah. Oh, I have.
I've seen photos.
I saw one in person.
Oh, that's
really
nice.
Really cute.
Yeah.
So yeah, I do apologize that I had no fucking idea about Australia. I also just like, Australia's so hot that I don't know if I'll ever travel there because my brain melts in heat. Like I fully can't function in heat.
Right.
Even in Vancouver when it's like 35, I'm like just even dumber and more useless than I am constantly. So yeah, I do apologize for having no idea that Australia had rainforests. But I do know that now, and I could point in the general direction of New Zealand.
The general direction. Don't ask him anything about New Zealand, but the general direction he's got.
If somebody gave me a map and said which quarter panel of this map is it in, I think I could probably get it on my first or second guess.
If it was like labeled. And,
yeah, labeled. Yeah, yes.
Okay. Well, I'm happy for you.
Thank you. I'm growing.
And I'm
this podcast is about growth.
Learning.
And this is my learning.
I love that for you. Honestly, we're changing lives around here.
Yes. Some people are like, wow, I really learned a lot about myself listening to this podcast, which is shocking, and I'm so sorry. And this is the learning that I'm getting back. So
yeah.
Yeah.
New Zealand.
We're enriching one another's lives.
I feel like you need to go to New Zealand now just to like really like cement this in.
Yeah.
Does New Zealand have, like, a cold winter?
Don't ask me about New Zealand's fucking weather.
I, like, think you're the
I just
now?
Found out that Australia has a single leaf, so...
Oh my god. All right. Well, usually we do this sooner, but Sean really had to get that off his chest. I want to say a huge thank you to all of our patrons and a big shout out to Aiden, Olivia, Liz, Serena, and Kate. Thank you so much for supporting this podcast. If you want to become a patron, you can head to our Instagram bio. There's a link there. Our Instagram is at I Can Explain Podcast. And if you click the link, it's going to tell you about becoming a patron, all the benefits, including bonus episodes. There's a bunch up there already. As well as we're doing like Zoom meetups, hopefully eventually actual meetups, lots of fun stuff. So we really appreciate all you. And also we really, really appreciate everyone who has been rating this podcast. Thank you so much. 5 stars only.
5 stars only.
And if you rated us less than 5 stars, not thank you, fuck you. And what are you thinking?
Yeah.
Like, no, it literally, it irritates me to my core.
Right.
Taking time out of your day to give us four stars or less.
We have specified that if you were to rate us under five stars and had a valid reason, I would probably agree with it. Mm-hmm. But the cowards that just do... actually, I think we
Don't even write it out.
I think we literally have 2 one-star reviews, mm-hmm. and they were somebody who was on, like, a smear campaign against me in Vancouver, so...
they, like, logged on with 2 different accounts.
I literally was, like, in a battle with this, like, psycho person that I saw for a second, and then the exact day we randomly got 2 one-star reviews,
like, which
I did love how petty that was, that they literally started a fight with me. I had no say in it.
Yeah.
They like the made drama. A thinly veiled death threat to me. Do you remember this?
Yes, I remember this.
Like this whole wild. like, and I literally was just vibing. Like I didn't do anything to them. So yeah, thinly veiled death threat. They were like harassing my friends under like a pseudo account on Instagram, and then the same day, 2 one-star reviews. Which I love the pettiness that they went to our podcast like, on multiple devices.
I know what'll get Sean.
And it did. They were right.
No, the thing is, if you are listening out there, whoever you are, just
you
know.
Got my ass.
This, yeah. Of all the things you tried to do to Sean, that one takes the cake.
I took the death threat. I was like, yeah, sure.
You called me about the 1 star. You were like, we're no longer 5, we're 4.999 because someone rated us. Like, it rattled you to your core.
And they're like, kill yourself. And I'm like, that's not what I'm mad at.
Oh my God, you go to therapy to talk about this person. Like, they're like, what do you want to focus
and
on?
And then it was 1 stars, and there's 2 of them.
All right, so now that you've heard how much this really hurts us to our core, we would really appreciate 5 stars. We mentioned it last episode, but we don't have guests on this podcast. So basically, the only way for us to grow is word of mouth. If you share us on social media, if you rate us, we really appreciate it. Show us some love on TikTok, follow us, all that good stuff. We really, really, really appreciate it. We're not just saying that. So I want to get into one other topic before we talk about biphobia, as we do here.
Yeah.
And this is really...
Also, I love how biphobia, very important topic.
Yeah,
and we are like, still like...
We're like, biphobia, make it fun. Make it fun and wild.
Yeah.
You never know when we're going to bring it
up.
Make
it 5 stars only.
Oh, my God. Okay, so we're really doing what these people are clocking us for, which I love. So over on my Instagram page, at Brianne Williamson, I like promoted the podcast as I usually do. Okay, new episode out, swipe up, blah, blah. But then I was like,
you've been going hard on the blah blahs recently.
Yeah, that's like my thing. I'm just like, don't have the energy anymore.
5 star, blah, blah. Swipe up, blah, blah.
I'm on a podcast that's all about talking, and I'm just going to like not go on. I'm just going to say blah, blah at the end of everything.
Yeah.
They're like, no, we'd actually like to hear what those blahs are.
Yeah.
I'm like,
biphobia,
no.
Blah, blah. Okay. See you around the neighborhood.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I was curious, and I actually said in my story, I'm curious. Okay.
Oh.
I'm curious.
Truth. Honesty.
Authenticity.
Absolutely.
On social media. Okay. Out of the people that follow me or watch my stories, I was curious how many people had actually listened to our podcast.
Okay.
Because something funny that I've sent to Sean before in the past that I always find surprising is we think that we are literally jamming this down people's throats.
Yeah.
Right? Because like I just said, we don't have guests. So literally the only way for us to get out there is for us to tell our own social networks about the podcast.
And every hour on the hour standing on our balcony and screaming.
I contribute at least 7 hours a day screaming around
pure
my neighborhood.
Screaming, yeah. I shoot like a t-shirt cannon of posters out every once in a while too.
Exactly. So I was like, you know what? I always feel like to Sean, like this must be annoying because since we can't like find another like natural growth strategy.
Yeah, we go for the unnatural.
We like have to like just be like, hey, has anyone listened to this podcast? And I always find it funny because I feel like I'm like talking to the same crowd and they're probably like, yeah, fuck you. Like if I wanted to listen, I'd listen already, right?
Yeah.
But then without a doubt, at least once every like 3 days, I will get a message of someone being like, hey, do you know any podcasts? And I'll like say ours, obviously, because ours is the best in the world.
Of course.
And they'll be like, oh my God, I didn't know you had a podcast. I've been following you forever. Or people will DM me and be like, oh my God, my friend just told me you had a podcast. I've been following you for 5 years.
Or a good one is you will be promoting the podcast. Yes. And somebody will be like, oh my God, did you just start this?
Oh, all the time.
And it's like, swipe up for episode 250,000.
No, and all the time people will be like, literally, like, congrats on starting your new podcast. I'm like, bitch, I've been doing this. I'm tired. The people are tired. The listeners are tired.
Everyone's exhausted.
Everyone's exhausted. So I always find that funny because we think we're like shoving it down people's throats and like people just really just don't notice.
Yeah.
Which is why it's helpful when you all support us. But so I was curious and I did a story poll that was like, have you ever listened to I Can Explain podcast? 74% it's currently sitting at have said yes.
Okay.
So 26 have said no. So then I wanted to follow it up. If no, why not? And I said, be honest, because I was curious if certain people were going to be like, no, because I didn't fucking know you had one.
Right.
Or if people were going to be like, no, because like, I hate you. Yeah. It sucks. Mm-hmm. Whatever. So I thought it'd be fun if we read some of these answers.
Okay. Just to check the validity.
Hold on. I have to cough, but it's not the Covina. Don't worry.
Jesus. Okay. This closet's a super spreader now.
Super spreader event. Yeah. I Can Explain podcast.
Super spreader event. Masks not required.
Oh, God. Okay. So some of these are like what you expect, right? And someone said, I'm old and out of the loop. Bitch, so am I.
Yeah.
Like, look at me.
They would know how old you are if they listened to this podcast, ironically.
Old and out of the loop over here. One of the co-hosts is exactly how you describe yourself. This is relatable content for you. And then, literally, I probably got like 200 answers to the no.
Okay.
And at least half of them are saying that they didn't know it existed.
Okay.
Like someone, for example, said, to be honest, didn't know it existed until the previous slide. Ha ha ha. Sorry, we'll listen now. Someone said, this is funny. Someone said, who is this? Haven't heard of them. I guess because our icon is like two pictures. And I guess they really just don't think that looks like me. They think I'm just promoting someone else's podcast.
I love that.
Who the fuck is this? I haven't heard of them.
I agree with that statement.
And then I got some people were just like savage. I don't know. It's like,
oh, okay.
Okay. Well, you know.
Savage or truthful?
Yeah, truthful. You know? The amount of never heard of it is amazing. Okay, and then I had a really good one that I had to screenshot and send to Sean. And this person just said, truthfully, I don't listen to podcasts with men.
And I honestly said, I have some thoughts about this. Yeah. Number one, good for them.
Yeah, respect.
Stand up for what you believe in. Mm-hmm. Hashtag I hate men.
Honestly, I don't either. Like, besides ours.
Yeah, it's something.
And H3.
Yeah, it's something that my boyfriend always says that I feel similar to this, is that I don't really listen to male artists.
Mm.
Like, I would.
It's not your vibe.
Sometimes there's like an odd song here or there, but for the most part, I would say it's 99% women. So I do understand where they're coming from. The irony in this, and I was saying this to Brie, is that when I hear people say, oh, I don't this something with men, or I don't do this with men, or, you know, men this. Mm-hmm. I don't really picture the energy I give off as men.
Right.
You know? Hashtag not all men. I am not all men. This is the only time that hashtag can be
You're
used.
You're leading the brigade.
Yeah, well, this is the only one that it makes sense. Because I was...
Says a man. Yeah. You're like, actually, for me, not all men make sense.
Well, because I also hate men. So, like, that's usually not a man trait. Like, I'm always, like, talking about how we need to get rid of men. And my boyfriend's like, you know that you're part of that, right? And I'm always like, sometimes we're going to have to die for the cause.
Yeah,
you know?
You're going to have to take one for the team.
Sometimes you got to make necessary sacrifices. And it just happens to be the two of us.
Yeah.
But when I picture somebody saying men, I picture like fishing energy, like holding a fish in a Tinder photo.
Right.
Like that's the kind of I don't do that with men vibe that I think.
See, this is where I can bring my lesbian expertise to the floor, if you
and
will.
And this is a great transition.
Great transition.
To the actual topic 15 minutes in.
Absolutely. And that is that lesbians a lot of them, like, hate all men.
I also love, like, a few episodes ago how you were like, I just don't see that gays and lesbians don't get along. It's always so shocking to me. Well, and then you just say...
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Because you know what it is? I almost feel like... With the gays and lesbians thing, I think that's coming from a place of, like, obviously, like, I'm friends with you and, like, a lot of gay people and gay men. And so, like, for me, it's not relatable.
Right.
But I also, like, for example, like, if you came to, like, it's not so much in, like, Vancouver, I wouldn't say, because... Unfortunately, the way Vancouver's set up, and fortunately, because it makes it, like, really cool space, honestly, it's kind of, like, there's the gay male clubs, we've talked about this many times before, and then there's, like, everyone else, you get to go to this warehouse one weekend a month. So it makes it this, like, big, like, LGBTQ plus extravaganza, opposed to there's lots of places in the world that will have more specific nights for specific identities, like, you know, like, queer women nights, focus nights. But, like... So it's not really speaking to Vancouver, and I'm not saying it's a bad thing to have everyone there at all. Obviously not for me, because I'm fucking best friends with you, so, like, I don't feel this way. But I have seen a lot of people, like, if I went to, like, for example, some of the, like, San Francisco Pride parties that are, like, queer, women-centric parties, if a, like, man-identifying person showed up, people would be like, why the fuck are you here?
Right.
Like, it wouldn't be, like, it would just be, it would literally, I think people would be like, why is this person taking up space here?
Right.
Like, and I get the root of it.
Yes.
I understand the root of it because, like, you know, we've talked about many times gay men have their spaces that they kind of, like, take over.
Yeah.
Their
airtime, their just general air.
Yes. So I get that, but I do think, like, yeah, it goes both ways. I think, like, gay men can't really relate to lesbians in a lot of ways. And then also lesbians just, like, I hate to, like, add to that stereotype because so many people are, like, trying to fight against it. Like, lesbian doesn't mean that you hate men. And that's true for a lot of people. But, like, a lot of lesbians, like, can't stand men.
Right.
And there's plenty of reasons for that.
And there's nothing wrong with that. So I think that does actually, I know, Jesus Christ, 17 minutes in.
Yeah.
I think that does directly tie to some of the...
Biphobia.
Obscene biphobia.
Yeah,
that totally. Is happening in our communities.
Yes, I agree.
And it's... like, super gross.
Yeah, I totally
That's, like,
agree.
The only way I can describe it. It's, like, we can get into the specifics of it, but at the end of the day, it's, like, I have similar feelings about the fucking racism in the gay male sphere. Mm-hmm. It's, like, we are supposed to be people that are, like, champions for all people, you know? Like, we're supposed to be a community and communities that are based on, like, love and unity and, you know, going through shitty experiences, finding your chosen family, all this. And it's, like, the fucking alphabet mafia, but you're just going to exclude, like, a few letters of that, not even just one. Like, there's a few that people are like, I don't know.
Yeah, totally.
It's just, like, so wild to me that within our own direct community, there is hate over... hate, and it's not, I don't even know if I would say hate, it's like ignorance and downplaying of another incredibly valid sexuality.
Totally. And it's funny because I actually hadn't even thought of that correlation before as we're talking right now.
Right.
When you were like, oh, that actually takes us to biphobia. I was like, how is this going to correlate? And then now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, I've never thought of that perspective of, like, why there is, like, so much biphobia within the lesbian communities around the world.
Right.
Is potentially because I would argue that with... in gay men's spaces, they still have, like, such an appreciation for women. Like, gay men are actually, like, obsessed with women.
In a problematic way.
Yeah.
They're, like, misogynistic towards women.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But it's, like, I feel like if a gay man, like, hooked up with a woman or something like that, or, like, even made out with a woman, it would kind of be like, yeah, she's hot. And, like, yes, there's that, there's an own slew of problems there.
Yeah.
But, like, with lesbians, a lot of the times, it's, like... And again, like we do a lot when we're talking about communities, when we're talking about problems within communities, this is very much generalizing.
Oh, like, super. And, like, personal experience and opinion.
Yes, exactly. And it's, I'm not saying, like, lesbians in every lesbian is this way. I think I'm acknowledging that there is a problem, like a subset within the lesbian community that feel this way.
Yeah.
So I just want to clarify that. But this subset of lesbians, if you will, I think because they're so like anti-man, right? Which again, I get that the root for that for a lot of lesbian identifying folks has like total merit.
Oh yeah, rooted in like very valid trauma.
Yeah, trauma, dealing with misogyny, dealing with abuse, like all these different things.
Yeah.
That for them to separate mentally, why someone would still even consider being with a man is like is hard.
Yeah.
Because they're like, you're in this space that I have like mentally for myself personally, and I'm not speaking for myself, I'm speaking as this other subset. You're in my space, safe space, that I've purposely discluded men from my life because of XYZ. So when I think about you being here, even though you're almost like with the other side.
Yeah. Oh, that's exactly how I see it.
I think that's how it, I think that's a lot of the root of it.
Yeah.
Of feeling like it's almost like in their mind, it's like traitor behavior.
Well, yeah. Cause it's like, like the one thing that comes directly to mind is like sleeping with the enemy. And I know that's like a dramatization of what is happening, but I think it kind of encompasses some of
the mindset of a lot of these biphobic people. Yeah.
Because as a bi person, I'm not a bi person, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
As a bi person, you can be dating somebody who also is queer.
Yes, 100%.
But you can be dating somebody who is straight identifying.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like there are these people that basically see that you're sleeping with the enemy. Yeah. Like you're sleeping with somebody or dating outside somebody or married to somebody. Yeah, that's not in your community. Mm-hmm. So it's like you're bringing them into this space and they're not part of it and all this. And it's like, it's just so... And,
yeah.
Then there's the whole fucking added aspect of people viewing bisexuality as a stepping stone, which for some people like yourself, it is, but not in the actual sexuality way.
Right.
You used it to bridge a gap between two things because it was more comfortable.
Right.
But you weren't ever... You weren't stuck, you know, in between?
Totally, yeah.
I don't know how to describe it.
I totally get that. I feel like... there's this black creator that I followed a few years back that was talking about this, and I don't know their pronouns, so I'm going to refer to them as they, them, but they do identify as lesbian, and they're black, and they were equating for them personally how there's a lot of black spaces, like there needs to be like black colleges and like safe spaces, or like I totally get why certain people don't want to date other people. Like if black folks only want to date other black folks, I get it. Like I don't get it, but I get why they would that would be important for them. And they were saying how it's almost like when someone who is black brings a white person to a black space, and it's like that white person is dating them, so clearly they're like, you know, connected to them, and they know that they're like an ally in a certain
way, open-minded
and, all these things, but it's still like you're bringing a white person into a black space. So they were comparing it to, you know, if someone identified as a bisexual woman, but she was dating someone who identified as a heterosexual man, and then they come to a party that's queer prominent, it's like you're bringing a heterosexual man into that space. That's not of your fault.
Yeah.
And you know that person's an ally. They know you. They know your truth, everything else. Like, but that's, I think, where it, how it feels to certain people within the community.
Yes.
I want to be careful in saying, like, I'm not saying that's right.
No,
I'm just,
yeah.
I think what we're trying to do here is we're trying to like get to like the roots and like discuss it, because we're also both not bisexual. So like I'm more fascinated. This is not a conversation that bisexuals have to have to figure out where the problems are.
Yeah.
I'm more interested like as a lesbian to figure out like why is this problem happening, so like we can make this a more comfortable space for bisexuals.
Yeah, I'm not coming at this as these are my lived experiences as a bisexual person and things that I felt. It's that I have a lived experience as a gay male, and I've heard what people have said. I've been in conversations and spaces where I've seen this happen.
Totally.
I've been in conversations in bars and situations that I've seen other gay men directly joke and invalidate a bisexual person's sexuality to their face and behind their back.
Yeah, 100%.
So that's where I'm coming at this from.
Totally. Yeah. And I think it's interesting because even last week we had a question from one of our bisexual listeners who said, hey, I'm bisexual. I want to go to queer spaces. I want to go to Pride. But I have a partner who identifies as a cis straight male.
Yeah.
So, like, how do I incorporate, like, I feel very separated because I feel like, how do I incorporate that person into my life without feeling like I'm, you know, bringing a straight cis male to these spaces?
Yeah.
And, like, we didn't really have an answer because, like, in one hand, like, you should not feel bad for that.
Yeah.
But in another hand, it is, like, it's one of a few identities. Well, there's endless identities, but you get what I mean. The ones that are always listed, LGBTQIA+, where the person the person that you're dating could actively be without the community. Like, that's the difference for gay identifying folks and lesbian identifying folks.
Yeah.
The people that we are dating are going to be within the community to some capacity without, like,
yes,
no ifs, ands, or buts. Whereas with...
buts.
Lots of buts.
Yeah.
But with bisexual folks, with trans folks, like, there's so many situations where, you know, with pansexual folks, asexual folks, where that line gets blurred.
Yeah.
Where the people that you are in love with could, while being totally respectful of your truth and your identity, also not be part of the LGBTQ+ community.
Yeah.
So it's a weird crossover that I think a lot of people refuse to acknowledge. But even if we just look at LGBTQIA+, right there, it's like, why do lesbians and gays, when we're only two parts of it, think that we get to have that vote when almost every other identity is like, yeah, we also date people outside of the community.
Yeah. And also, like, we accept that your sexuality is valid.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Hey Gabers, this episode is brought to you by Book of the Month. If you're a longtime Gaber, you know that I am far from a consistent reader, but Book of the Month just might change that. Book of the Month makes the process that I find daunting, finding a new book, fun and special, with new releases at the beginning of every month. I often find deciding on a title overwhelming, but Book of the Month's team curates a list full of exciting options, often from new and upcoming authors. This month, I chose The Return of Ellie Black by Amiko Jean, which I'm really excited to dig into. I love a mystery thriller, and I love a twist. I was debating between this title and Middle Tide by Sarah Crouch, and honestly, it was the first time in years that I was having a battle of the books. So this month, get your first book for $5 with the code PETALS, PETALS, at bookofthemonth.com. That's PETALS, PETALS, at bookofthemonth.com.
I do think, I honestly think, like I said, a chunk of it is, though, that there are people that... there are people that use it as a stepping stone, and I kind of am trying to be careful about that because I don't...
like me. I've talked about it plenty.
Yeah, so, like, there are people that identify briefly or for longer periods of time as bisexual for safety, for a multitude of reasons, to almost, like, ease their family into it.
Yeah, that's what it was for me.
And I think people take the fact that there are some people that do that... they take that information and they run with it. They're 100%. Like, every single person is just waiting to be gay. That's, like, I think what a lot of people view it as.
Which is fucked.
And it's like, literally shut up. Why, like, why are you speaking?
Yeah. And why are you, like, trying to figure out someone's end game, especially as a queer person to any extent? Like, as a lesbian, I've had to deal with people trying to tell me that my identity is not valid because I have, you know, slept with a guy or because I dated guys. Like, as a queer person, we're all used to that to some capacity. So why would you try and put that on someone else? Like, oh, I know that you're not actually bisexual. I know you're either straight or you're gay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you'll get there. Like, you've had to disagree with people trying to tell you what your identity is. So why the fuck would you do that to someone else? Like, it's just, like, so inappropriate on so many levels. But I agree, because I've talked about on this podcast before that I almost, in hindsight, feel guilty about identifying as bisexual because I feel like I contributed to that stereotype.
Yeah.
But where we've gone with that conversation before is, as much as I do feel guilty, like, I don't think that was wrong of me to do, because my reasoning, in the same way as so many other people's reasoning of identifying as a different identity before you finally kind of like come to your truth, is because of safety concerns, is because of...
Or like, it's fluid.
Heteronormativity. A lot some of people, yeah, that, some people you are know, fluid.
And like, then throughout their life, they've come into their truth in another way.
Yeah.
I also think that there's this weird, gross thing, and I've seen it on TikTok, and I've seen it all over recently. And it kind of goes back to something that I see a lot of gay men do, where a lot of people will use like disgust of, I'm just saying of the opposite gender, not meaning, anyways, generalization.
Yeah.
People use disgust for the opposite gender as a way to validate their own sexuality.
Yes.
And a lot of gay men, and it's so, and I honestly don't know if I did it. I don't think I ever did it, but I would never do it now. And I still see people my age and older doing it. But when gay men are like, ew, vaginas, that's disgusting.
Right, yeah.
Or when lesbians are like, ew, a penis, like that's so disgusting.
Right, right.
And like, I get that some of it is rooted in it, like people thinking it's a joke.
Yeah.
But if you keep a joke going for long enough, like people think that's how they need to validate their sexuality.
Yeah.
It's like, I need to be disgusted by women to be a gay man.
Yes.
And, you know, I just think it's like...
It's also transphobic.
Absolutely. And like, there's so many issues.
There's so many
with
layers.
It.
Yeah. To it. Yeah.
And I just think it's so frustrating because it's so constant that people keep seeing it happen that it just, you know, keeps snowballing that way. And it's like, I had two girlfriends, and I know that there's like a spectrum. People are like 100%, some people claim they're 100% gay, 100% straight. Yeah. Like, I would not, I identify as a gay male, but I would not say that I'm the furthest point of that. Like, I'm not disgusted by women. I find women beautiful. Like, I love my friendships with women. Yeah. Like,
you try to date me. Like,
I'm
so
obsessed
many
times. With Brie. Yeah. I love her pussy.
Yeah, all the time. Just can't stop talking about
it. But I dated women in high school, and obviously the connection physically wasn't there. But I was in love with both of them. And I was never like, wow, now that I'm gay, I'm disgusted by you. Like, that just isn't true. And I think that that narrative adds to the biphobia, because you're making people be like, oh, well, you don't hate men. Then you're not queer, you know?
Right.
You don't hate men.
Okay, yeah,
you know,
totally
it's like
that.
This weird, it's like people are constantly pitting the two genders. I'm once again using that as a generalization. Mm-hmm. People are constantly pitting them against each other. Mm-hmm. That when somebody's like, oh, that's not how I vibe. People are like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. Like,
what the fuck are you talking
about? Like, what it means to be queer is to hate that.
Yeah.
Or like what it means to me. I think what it comes back to, because like, here's the thing, like bottom line, like, even when we talked about before, like, the reason that some lesbians might hate men might be completely valid.
Absolutely.
Or they might be, like, triggered by men. I know lesbians that actually, like, have, like, fears of men.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
these are all valid.
All valid things. Yeah. And I know you know that, too. And, like, that's what I mean. But I think the difference is like, when you start projecting it on other people, like, you're allowed to have your own feelings and opinions. Like, we all are allowed to have our own identity and validity. But, like, that doesn't and shouldn't feel like you have to put other people's into your same definition in order for yours to be valid. Like, I think it almost comes from like an insecure place of like, if someone else is doing it different than I am, or expressing their gender or expressing their sexuality in a way that doesn't totally fit in the way that I think it makes sense to,
then I need to question it.
Quiz
this person. And
I know I'm gay, so if you aren't getting it like I'm getting it, then there must be something off with you. And it makes me sad, honestly, because like, I, you know, I hate to bring up TikTok, but...
Oh, God.
But Brianne Williamson on TikTok. you know, when I've talked about... I think it's important, which is why I think you thought it was important to do this episode, and I agreed, is that I think it's important on TikTok as a lesbian to speak to bi women.
Yeah.
Because I think, unfortunately, a lot of bi women feel very segregated from lesbians.
Yeah.
And... that makes me sad. And I notice it when I post a TikTok saying that, hey, bi women, like, you're chill and down and like come hang out in the queer spaces and you're valid, you accept you, whatever, and however many words I say it in different ways, every time there's a flood of comments that are like, oh my god, thank you, I was so afraid about this, I hate telling people I'm bi, I hate telling lesbians I'm bi because I'm afraid that they're gonna like me less or judge me. And it's like, that alone, the fact that I get the most comments on those kind of videos, like if we're looking for a tangible example that biphobia exists and that bisexuals feel like they are segregated or, you know, being laughed at or being told that they're not valid or not included, that's it. Because I'm like, the fact that I post a video about being a fucking lesbian and I get like 100 comments and I post these and it's
you're like, I'm a lesbian, but I don't hate bisexual people. And they're like, I've been waiting for someone to say this.
And it'll literally be like, I'm not saying anything groundbreaking. I'm literally saying like, hey, if like one that I made was like, you know, hey, if you are dating someone that makes you feel less than them because you're the bisexual in the relationship, referring to like, or if you're dating people that, or if you're coming across people that don't want to date you, sorry,
or
I'm just making
then,
up the
or,
TikToks
and
in my
then,
head,
or and so and then or
it's very simple, John. It's very simple stuff over here on TikTok. No, the one I'm thinking of specifically was when I made one saying, if you're coming across people on dating apps that don't want to date you, meaning lesbians on dating apps that don't want to date you because you're bisexual, then they're the losers and like they're the immature ones and that's not nothing on you or your identity. And literally I got like 600 comments of people being like, oh my god, thank you so much, like I've been hiding that I'm a bisexual on apps, I just put the flag because I don't want to like,
it's ambiguous,
people won't date me because of it. People, and that's a thing. Lesbians have been known plenty of times to say, I will not date a bisexual woman.
Yeah.
Which is just so fucked. Like, what does that mean?
Yeah. It's just, at the end of the day, I think it all goes back to the fact that we, as a gay and a lesbian, know what it's like to feel like our back is against the wall and to feel that our sexuality is being questioned by basically the world.
Yeah.
So it's like, you're telling me that people that identify as bisexual already have to feel that way, and then they're going
to
come somewhere that they
are supposed to
should
safe,
feel
yeah.
safe and accepted and loved, and people are still like picking them apart like they're some kind of fucking toy. Mm-hmm. Or like, are you 50% gay? Like, are you like what percent gay are you? Do you think this guy's hot? Do you think this girl's hot? What about this person? Like, it's just like,
and you know what? I see it leaking into queer, bisexual, pansexual identifying folks' TikToks.
Yeah.
Like, that also makes me sad because it's like, I don't blame them for making this kind of content because of the, you know, shittiness that they've had to deal with of feeling like people are telling them they're not valid. But literally there's like major trends on like bisexual TikTok being like, oh, I'm bisexual, but don't worry, like I like the only man I would date is like Harry Styles, or like, I'm bisexual, but like, oh, like if I were to draw it on a graph it would be, and then it's like that joke where you zoom in and it's like tiny, like a little prick of like 99.99% like into non-men, and then men is like the tiniest percentage, and they're like actively making this content. And I'm not saying that might not be some people's truth, but I genuinely do think a lot of it is rooted in trying to like explain that, don't worry, I am gay enough.
Yeah.
I'm not really that into men.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm bisexual, but not like super bisexual.
Yeah.
Just like a little bit.
And for anyone to be put in the position where they have to do that, and clearly like it's a relatable position to be in because it's like a very popular thing for queer, pansexual, bisexual people to be doing on social media.
Yeah.
That like, that again says a lot. And or even like, you know, like, you know, I'm bisexual, but it's just because I'm married to this one guy that I like. Every other person I have ever liked is
don't
woman
worry.
Identifying.
Yeah.
It always starts like that. It's like, oh, but it's only because this one person is my person and everyone else I'm not.
Yeah.
It's like,
this person's my soulmate, but that's the only reason.
That's the only reason. And it's like this, like, explaining, like, panic. And it's like, that makes me sad that anyone even feels like they have to deliver that, because, like, that, again, could 100% be true, but, like, it shouldn't even come up for someone to feel like they should have to say that on TikTok.
Yeah.
Like, even if it's said in a funny way, like, there's a root to that. There's a reason that they feel like they have to, like, explain it.
There's also, and I think this podcast is an example of it, there's, I think, a way of thinking that people think that their sexuality is, like, the biggest connection that they will have to a friend.
Right.
And it's like, I don't think that's true at all. I have, I would say, just as many queer woman friends as I do queer men. And I think it's a weird way to think about friendship because it's like we have so many, and I think we have spoke, we obviously have different experiences. That's kind of, you're going to have different experiences to everybody. But we as queer people, you and I, have so many shared experiences that we can still bond over because we are both queer. We are both in the LGBTQIA plus community. And that is, you know, we're queer. That is an umbrella that helps unite us.
Like we have a lot of things that we can relate to each other, even though that we, our gender identity and our sexuality are literally opposite.
Exactly. And I think that people view people of other sexualities as they can't relate to that person. Right. You know, that's something that they don't understand. And it's like, there are so many
it's a shallow way to look at queerness.
And there are so many things that you would understand about that person if you stopped judging them and talk to them.
For like 180 episodes. It's so true. I think that a good way to like leave it is that, and just saying like, if we give the example of the lesbian community itself, even within that lesbian subset of LGBTQIA+, there are so many lesbians who perceive and express their sexuality so different than I do. And their gender identity is so different than I do. I mean, there's non-binary lesbians. There's lesbians who have never even kissed a man. There's lesbians like myself who have dated and slept with men. There are lesbians that, you know what I mean? There's lesbians that are like, I know lesbians that have literally, you know, been lesbians since basically coming out of the womb. And they're like, that's not to say though that when I'm on vacation in the Bahamas, I may
catch a dick.
I might catch a dick. You know what I mean? Like, there's
lesbians that have never interacted with another woman.
There's lesbians that literally have no interest in sex at all. You know what I mean? Maybe they're aromantic. Like, there's all these different subsets within each subset. And it gets to the point where it's like, there's, it's pointless to try and know what is included and what is excluded because there's no framework. Like, we're making this up as we fucking go. We're like, and queerness by definition should be something that is like movable and ever changing and fluid, and we're growing our understanding and inclusive and loving, and like you said.
Does not need to be like static and defined. Wow, look at us.
Oh my gosh.
I'm gonna finish this off in a very cheesy way. And this is actually how I feel about it. And I don't think that, like, I know that fucking ally stands for allies when it's included in, you know, fucking Target merch and all that stuff. I get that. But I think that a lot of queer people forget that they also have to be, like, their own community's ally.
I know that's so true.
I know that's cheesy, but, like, we talked about in the ally episode that you, you expect an ally to be more than just somebody who doesn't hate queer people. You expect an ally to be somebody who, like, goes up to bat for the queer community. And it's like, how are you forgetting that if you have that definition for somebody who is a, you know, straight identifying ally, how do you forget that that still applies to you?
Oh my god, that is so true.
I know, I'm so smart today.
I've never even thought, I've never even thought about that either. There's, that's the second time I've never thought about something today.
I don't think it's gonna be the last either.
Okay, well, I love that. That was very heartwarming. And to all of our bisexual listeners out there, pansexual, queer, gay, lesbian, trans, however you identify, thank you for listening. You are safe here and you are 100% a part of the community and so loved. So thank you for listening. And also, I do want to again acknowledge that neither of us identify as bisexual. So we thought this was an important topic to talk about so that, you know, bisexuals out there aren't feeling like they have to do all the work and like talking against the other communities to like prove themselves.
That's
the
also, it's like, it's hard to fight the fight when it's just you.
When it's you.
Yeah. So like we wanted to add, you know, a voice to it.
Add a voice from, you know, within the sometimes shitty communities of gay and lesbianism that are saying, hey, no, you're welcome here. We love you all. Thanks for listening. Hopefully we did something a little bit right. I'm worried about, honestly, sometimes I get worried. I think it's important to talk further in support of other communities, yes. But I don't want it to come off like we think that we're talking for bisexuals.
Yes, or talking for every gay or every lesbian. Like, this is I think this is a consistent theme. This is
our listeners get it. Yeah, they know our lived experience. Place.
And all I want to convey here is love for. Yeah.
Love for all.
Love for all.
Except Sean when he's an asshole to me.
Well, I love that. It's all love there, baby.
That's self-love. Yeah. That's self-love. That's Sean's meditation time.
Yeah, I'm bullying Bree.
All right. Wherever you're listening, make sure that you are subscribed. Following, seriously, it really does help us out. Also, if you give us a rating, 5 stars, write us a little review. We read them all. We really appreciate it. Follow us over on Instagram and TikTok at I Can Explain Podcast. And if you want to become a patron, click the link in the bio. To join our Patreon. Thank you to everyone who's doing that so far. And there's more bonuses along the way, on the way.
There will be more bonuses along the way.
Along the way, there will be.
Speaking of reviews, there have been a few reviews since we were like, please review us.
we begged.
Yeah, and my favorite was somebody saying, ironically, they can't explain. They were like, they're never on topic, but it's not about what they say. Oh, it's about how they make you feel. They'll make you feel great. And I was like, that is hilarious.
That's the best comment. Yeah,
because for something called I Can Explain, we are so stupid.
We do it really bad.
Real poorly. We should change it to I Can Explain Poorly.
I Can't Explain.
I Can Explain Poorly and Very Long-Winded.
Let me tell you, I could have made an entire episode out of the responses to my Instagram stories.
You wanted to.
I was like, you know what? We're going to have to do bisexuality or biphobia part two at this point. You know what? Maybe for a bonus episode, we'll review some of this feedback.
That's funny. Yeah.
I'm going to put on my Instagram story some more questions in regards to actual feedback. And okay. I feel like we should do a feedback bonus episode.
Absolutely.
That would be funny.
It's like when you talk to your employer.
Yeah.
And they tell you what your strengths and weaknesses are.
Or your report card where the teacher...
Strengths
and weaknesses.
Oh my God, next week, strengths and weaknesses.
Okay.
I love that.
And feedback and all this will be in bonus episodes on Patreon.
Patreon.
It's hard to switch between patron and Patreon.
No, you're a patron, at a store, a patron, and Patreon is...
Do you ever think that certain people stop listening when I do the plugs because they think it's over? Like, I do that with podcasts and YouTube videos when they start doing the plugs. Like, make sure to follow us and stuff. So you think it's over, so you just click off.
Little
and what they don't
they
realize is they get another
we'll
5 minutes of long-windedness after I start plugging. Like, just as long as it takes us to get into a topic, it takes us twice as long to get out of it. All right, until next time, we will see you
around the gay neighborhood. Jesus Christ, shut the fuck up.